Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I do want to say this morning, we always talk about rethinking church. And we're not talking about, we're just talking about just thinking about it. Begin to ponder it. You know, read God's word. Read about the church. Read about how, and the church is the body of Christ. We talked about that this week, that we're not an organization, that we're family. And families have function, and families have structure, but it's family structure. We've talked about so many different things so far, but we're going to kind of continue the conversation that that God, I want to say this, that God is a God of order, but his name is not Robert.
I like that.
God is a God of order, but his name is not Robert. Of course, I'm referring to Robert's Rules of Order, which is the corporate laws and concepts of holding meetings, which is, yeah, it's a pretty good idea. But it's not a God idea. I mean, order could be anything. Order could be just a relational, okay, it's your time to talk. Okay, we got it. Next person talk, whatever. It's not like any new business, any old business. It's like,
yeah. So second on that.
Yeah, old business is the old covenant. New business is the new covenant. Let's move on. God is a God of order, but his name's not Robert. It's not Robert's Rule of Order. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about Robert's Rules of Order. It is a way to have a, it's the world's way that was developed through time and philosophies and concepts to have an organized representative type, representation type meeting with structure to it. I'm not going to get into too many details about it. It's just an idea. And it's relevance, what you see when you see a Congress meeting is what you see when you see the Rotary Club meeting is what you see when you see Kiwanis meetings. You see, and sad to say, that's what you see when you see the church come together quite often is Robert's Rules of Order. Now, the thing about using the world's philosophies and concepts in the church, that people really start thinking that God's name is Robert. I mean, they really, they start thinking that Robert's Rules of Order replace the order of God. And what happens is Robert's Rules of Order is a political concept. It's a way that everybody can have their say, and that people who have good ideas and good schemes can introduce them, and they can vote on them, and you can, if a majority, you know, says, you know, let's do this thing, you end up doing it. That's not the way God, God doesn't have a democracy. It's not, let's vote on this thing. He already has it written down. He has it written down how it's supposed to be. He says very specifically how marriage is supposed to be. He says how family's supposed to be. He says how the church order's supposed to be. You know, he gave son to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But apostles, prophets, and teachers are what is the leading aspect of the church to be able to lead the church. And it's not Robert. And what happens with Robert's Rules of Order when we ingest those philosophies that Colossians 2:8, and John, if you could read that for us, of John, Colossians 2:8, that it brings in the world's way into the church, and it's a way for people who don't know God to figure out intellectually how they could bring what they believe is right into what God is doing, which is it brings in politics and witchcraft and manipulation.
Yeah, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. That's Colossians 2:8.
And that's it. I mean, Robert's Rules of Order is a good concept for the world. I mean, it should have some order to a meeting. It's pretty cool. But this God's name's not Robert, and his order is not the Robert's Rules of Order. It's so important. But he is a God of order. He's a God of family order. He's a God of, we recognize the gifts that he gives the church so we can relate accordingly to those gifts, because that gifts, those gifts are going to function into the concept bringing us into a place that can bring about, you know, leadership decisions and directions of where we're going. You know, and rethinking the church, I want you to really think about this, and it could just shock you, because I mean, what would you do if you didn't have this place, this building, which is good. I think buildings are good, you know, especially when it rains. But if you didn't have that, and then what would you do when you come together? Do you have any relationship or not? Because if you don't have any relationship, you need Robert's Rules of Order, because that's when it comes for strangers coming together trying to express themselves. But if you're family, can you imagine sitting around the dinner table and all of a sudden the father says, well, I just want to know, is there any old business before we move on to the spaghetti? You know what I'm saying? It's relational.
That's right.
But if you don't have relationship, then you revert to philosophies of this world and these concepts. And so what happened is we left relationship. And now we brought in these philosophies and concepts that allow us to function, but we're not functioning as the family that we're called to be. Mm-hmm. Now, if you pull out Robert's Rules of Order and just say, okay, God's name's not Robert, he is a God of order, and you realize, would we even stay together? Would there be factions? Would there be divisions? Would there be people, you know, that were used to manipulating the board of directors or all these different things that are going on now, or they just have to relate to people and spend time with them and have coffee with them and love them and pray for them and know their hearts. And it just, when you pull that out, when you pull that out, it confronts us. It confronts us that we don't know God possibly, because it's happened. Many people talk about, yeah, I was teaching in Sunday school for 10 years and I got saved. Like, hold on.
Happens more often than
who are those poor 10 years worth of students you had in your Sunday school
exactly.
class? And the biggest ones are like, yeah, I was pastoring a church and found Jesus. Mm. You know, what point did you find him? And but understanding this is important, because when you pull out men's forms and formats and ideas and schemes and philosophies, you're left with one thing: God and each other, and hopefully love and relationship.
Mm.
And so where we're going, based on my understanding, could be wrong, don't know. Many people are hearing the same thing I'm hearing, is that your relationships are going to be the most important thing you have.
Hmm.
And if every time we got together, you brought in new business trying to push my hand and convince me to do something that you knew that we didn't want to do in this church, you don't have no relationship with me, you know. Mm-hmm. You were manipulating me with men's philosophies of Robert's Rules of Order. You should have went and had coffee with me and been honest with me,
yeah,
saying this is what you wanted to do,
mm-hmm,
you know, and then wait for an honest opinion. That's a relationship. And you need to build that, because we're going to have that. The reason why, you know, people who are divisive can just jump up in a huge crowd and like this church in Texas, and they didn't even know they were there, because they operate in the concept of not having that kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in New Orleans when the hurricanes come, they didn't know whether or not that couldn't find anybody, because they didn't know anybody. They were, you know, it's like, we're going to hold a meeting. You know, I just slammed the gavel down. Where's everybody at? And so in rethinking church, we have to understand this. This is so important. And you're going to find out this. He says, if you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can find out if we love God or not. When we pull out these concepts and philosophies and ideas, like Colossians 2:8 says, that's held us captive, we can find out if we know God or not. We can find out if we love God or not. Because he says, if you don't operate within Robert's Rules of Order, you don't love God. He said, if you don't love your brother, you don't love me, even though you tell people you love me. He says, you're a liar. And we already talked about liars in the first part of this extra hour, talking about in the moment of wisdom. Listen, it's pretty cool. Now, you might not be able to have a relationship with 10,000 people like you profess to be, but you'll have a relationship with a few people. Jesus had a relationship with 12.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked that out. And he said he was faithful with those that were entrusted with him. And he said, go and imitate me. And they did the very same thing. And it just progresses along. You don't need Robert's Rules of Order in your family. That's kind of ridiculous. Any new business? Yes, I would like to have Parmesan cheese on my spaghetti. Mm-hmm. Let's vote on that. Do you want to have Parmesan cheese? Your father goes, what? Just go get the stuff out the fridge.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's time for us to have that kind of relationship. And let me tell you something. I'm going to end with this, and we got to go. Is Jesus said this. This is how they'll know if you're the church. This is how they'll know that you're his disciples. If we operate in love, if we love each other.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com.
We'll be right back.
Is religion banned in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
The question was, did I send trainees on a training trip for a couple of weeks, and they are typically put together with roommates in hotels. I've had a trainee who, she likes to read her Bible and have quiet meditation time, and she's concerned that having a roommate would interfere with that.
When you have a situation like this, it depends on your policy. If the policy is for economic reasons that you have the employees have roommates, then she should have a roommate also, and she certainly can go to a quiet place in the hotel and study the Bible. You don't want to do anything to interfere with her sincerely held religious beliefs, her Bible study, or times of prayer. You should try to accommodate that, obviously. But I don't think you have to exclude your general policy of having roommates if that's the company's policy. As long as it's equally enforced, there should be no problem.
For more information about your rights in the workplace, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com. And follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I had a chance this weekend to see a program called Scared Straight. Scared Straight. It's a live documentary program where, you know, young boys going into an all-male prison who are committing crimes. They're about 15 years old. And the purpose of it is to take them there, I guess, and to scare them straight. Like, you're going to end up like us.
Mm-hmm.
And for 1 hour, John, 1 hour, God just broke my heart over this whole situation. I mean, first of all, you're looking at these young boys who don't know nothing, who think they know everything, making decisions that are going to kill them or wound them for life or imprison them for life, you know? And you're just wanting, like, oh my goodness, and they're just being so hateful and disrespectful and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see correction officers who are willing to participate and helping these boys turn around. They were willing to host this thing called Scare Straight. And I was just looking at these officers, and I'm thinking, man, she's so cool that she would care so much about this boy that she doesn't even, you know, she gains nothing financially from him or anything from him. She's just not wanting him to end up in that jail. And they're willing to take their time. Then I saw these inmates who are already locked up, who've already made all those bad decisions, and they're in there for 5, 10, whatever years, and some of them
probably, double life.
Yeah. And they're going, like, I don't want these boys to end up where I'm ending up. And so they take them through this whole process. And their boys are so hard-headed when they get there. And they're so prideful. And they're just so rebellious. And, you know, you're thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, these guys are trying to help you. And literally this one, you know, small little boy was looking at the face of this thick, huge, scar-faced, tattooed, you know, probably 250-pound man looking up to his face and chewing him out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, man, the devil's got a hold of you, son.
That's
and but they hung in there. They had this whole process where they, you know, shock and awe and these different things, and they end up sitting around a table. But the whole time I'm just broken over. God just broke my heart. It broke my heart, first of all, where I love to see people reach out and care for somebody. You know, and to try to, you know, we did for years. We tried to step in that gap and to be there. And it makes a difference, but it makes a difference beyond that. And then when I was seeing, and then when I saw these prisoners that are serving time and they have nothing to gain other than saying, listen, I care about this kid. That kid is me, and I don't want him to go that way. And so they were willing just to do whatever it took to shake those kids up. You know, I think they should have let them touch them. But anyway, they because they're saying, listen, if you don't, you're going to be in here with me, you know, and there won't be no cameras. And then I was watching these boys that everything's weighing in the balance and all they got to do is make the right choice. All they have to do is humble themselves. All they have to do is humble themselves and do what's right. Do what they're being told by the authorities of the land and by their mothers. Most of it's all mothers. Their fathers were gone. And it's like my heart just totally broke. And I thought, man, that is so ministry. That's what we do. We're like talking. We're saying, no, no, don't make that choice. And people look at you square in the face. They say, listen, what part of don't you get that I'm going to keep on doing this sin? But I'm going to go find me somebody who will tell me that Jesus accepts this sin. And we're going, no, don't. You're going to end up in this place. Listen, I've gone that route. God saved me from that. He delivered me from that. And if I wouldn't have turned, I would have burned. And the same thing will happen to you. And you're just talking to people. And so many people, you know, they sit there and they're just like these stubborn kids. Some of them were just they're so hard at some young age, 12, 13, 14, 15. And it's like, oh my goodness. And they're going like, I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing. But some of them began to turn. But I've literally ministered and told people just like that, like, wake up, man, you can't keep going this route. And all of a sudden they end up dead in armed robberies and drug situations and divorce and broken apart relationships and in jail and in prison or heart blowing out of your chest or, you know, whatever it is, just it's amazing. And it's like, just like these little 15-year-old boys, grown folk, they just do it kind of like politically correctly, you know. But the truth is, God knows it's rebellion.
That's right.
And it's so important. These boys, all they had to do was go, you know, I'm going to just go to school and do what my teachers say. If my mother asks me to take the trash out, I'm going to take it out with a good attitude. And I'm going to begin to appreciate those around me. And life's going to be good for them. This is what happened between Cain and Abel. When you think about it, you know, here Cain was walking around all downcast because he thought he should have something that wasn't his. And that's a big thing that happens with most people. They get jealous and envious. And they see other people and they get angry and bitter. And they start saying, I should have had that. And what Abel got was attention that he thought he deserved from God. And so eventually he was walking around all sad and angry and all that kind of stuff. And God confronted him. And he said, why are you walking around so downcast? Why are you walking around such an attitude? That's what these boys were, you know. And Cain was just upset. He says, listen, sin is crouching at your door, and it's going to devour you. Why don't you just do what's right? From the very first dispute between two brothers, same things going on today, and God saying the same thing. Why not do what's right? And just like some of these boys, Cain decided to kill his brother instead of honor him and do what's right, instead of honor God. And Abel's blood still cries out today. I mean, these boys are robbing and doing drugs and all these different things. And it was amazing. So it was, and then towards the end of this program, literally I'm just broken. I'm like, and there was a commercial in between. I'm like, oh my goodness, a commercial. Then it stopped and the next came and I was just so broken and so different. Cause this is America right now. This is the condition of America. This is America. I mean, watch C-SPAN. It's the same thing in Congress. It looks the same way. It's just they're in suits. You look in the church, it looks the same way. They call them board meetings. They call them, you know, whatever. It's this social network company is marketing to ministers saying, listen, you need to get on the social network with your congregations because they're going to be voting for you in the future.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm thinking, what are you doing? Who are you? Who are you, Jezebel? Anyway, so they, but it's everywhere. And God was breaking my heart because you have ministers that are maybe, quote, like the prison guard or, quote, like the prisoner who got set free and realized even though I'm in bondage in this jail, I'm no longer that person anymore.
That's right.
And they're preaching to you. They're telling you, listen, stop what you're doing. Stop this way of life. Why don't you just do what's right? And some people were just like those stubborn little boys that looked at him and just started cussing and saying things and thinking they're all bad, even though they're just a, like a dot on the earth, even they still had that rebellious, prideful, arrogant, cocky spirit. It was just, and what it is, it's the devil. It's got a hold of them. You know, God can set you free. You may think, I don't know how I could do what's right before God because I got this stuff riding on me, addictions to whatever and all these different things and pride. But you know, if you come to God as you are, if you just come to him with all your baggage, all your addiction, all your whatever, and just say, God, I want you to be my Lord. What I'm hearing, that is so me. You know, you might be the person that's got everybody winked because you're like the politically correct rebellious person. Like everybody's convinced that you're a good person and you're doing what's right. But what you do is you tell them what they want to hear. You flatter them. Then you go do what you want to do. And you know that's against God. You know it's against God. And so, and there's some others listening is like, you know what? You are just cantankerous. You get up and look at yourself in the mirror and you're angry with yourself. You're angry with your sisters and your brothers and your mother and your father and your teachers and you, everybody. And it's like, get a clue. How can it be everybody? How can everybody in the world be wrong and you be right? The truth is you're angry with yourself. But let me tell you something. God loves you. God understands your condition. God will rescue you from that condition. But you first have to humble yourself and bow your knee before him and say, and just cry out, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I don't want to go the way of these boys in the Scared Straight program. I don't want to go the way of what's happening in with a lot of the Washington, D.C. crew that are just throwing their fist up towards God and rebelling against everything, Constitution, Bible, you name it. I don't want to go the way of every 15 minutes now, I believe it is a divorce happening in America. I don't want to go the way all these destructive ways. God, I want you. All I know, and then cry out to God and say, God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you. I can't handle this on my own. I don't need to be the Lord of my life anymore. I need you to be the Lord of my life. And let me tell you something. He'll respond to you.
Yeah.
He'll come into your life and he'll rescue you and he'll forgive you and he'll, you won't be perfect. He'll teach you. And as you go and as you become his disciple and learn how to walk with God, he'll empower you to walk with him and get yourself into a fellowship of believers who love God, who are not giving you permission to do what people in the past have been giving you permission to do, who hold you accountable to walk with God and understand, listen, you can do this thing with God. You can be blessed, highly favored. God himself will set you in a, on a throne as a prince in the heavenly realm. God will call you son. Jesus will call you his elder brother or his brother as he's your elder brother and your Lord and your Savior. Listen, you're getting the family of God. You've been wanting family. You've been thinking, well, the only loyal family to me is this gang, and these guys will fight for me, and they'll defend me. Listen, God will fight for you. God will defend you. And when you walk with his body, you'll get so much love and the right kind of intention and just the way you're designed to be. You'll be blown away when you get in the family of God. Listen, make that decision today. Don't be like those boys in the Scared Straight program who didn't turn. Be like the boys that got it. They got it. They understood. Today is my day of change. Today I've got to turn from this way of life. If not, I'm going to end up exactly where these guys ended up. This is where you end up. This is what the corrections officer telling me. This is what these prisoners are telling me. That's what my mother told me. And now I'm telling you, that's what God's telling you. That's what God's telling you. But let me tell you something. God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. If you want to meet him today, we have shared a couple of our stories. They can kind of show you that's why we understand. That's where we come from. He rescued me. He rescued us. Just a few stories there. It's at Meet My Father. Meet www.meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from racks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit the $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Visit Copy Products today with five locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because you got to have, you got to, listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
Oh my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I
oh,
have.
Oh man, such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all of your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh? Spread.
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFNTV. You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out VFNfamily.org.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
And as we've been sharing about it, and you can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and choose at the very top, prophecies, and I think it's called prophecy. And it has all these different prophetic words and dreams that we're just sharing with you, what God shared with us. And our prayer is that it doesn't happen, but they have to understand if in fact every person who doesn't make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, who begins to worship other gods other than God, who makes money their God, who says I have no need of nothing and turns away from Jesus, when they die, if they go to hell, they're totally separated from God. For God to allow that to happen without interrupting that and giving everybody a chance to make a right decision for him would be an unloving God. Mm-hmm. And God's not trying to write anybody off. He's trying to write everybody in.
That's right.
And if you haven't yet gone to the VFN store, VFN TV store, you need to go there and get Nobody Cries for Justice. That's so important because, you know, I can totally understand if you don't have the revelation, I can understand why you don't cry for justice, because we all need grace. But the justice of God is served on the cross that gives you a revelation of how powerful what God did. God's a just God, and he's the one that justifies. And he served his justice on his son. And so it makes us run to the cross, rely on the justice of God served on Jesus, and call everybody else to the cross, not have everybody whacked or anything. You know, have everybody come to the cross. That's why you preach the kingdom of God. That's why we cry for God's justice. And justice really is getting things back in order again. So if you haven't yet got that, you need to get that. You need to watch it. You need to listen to it, because we got to cry out for justice. And very few people are right now. People are crying out for personal benefits. People are crying out for personal stimulus. People are crying out for personal things and stuff or whatever. But when somebody else is going through something, when, you know, 55 plus million children are being aborted, you know, and have been aborted in our country, and every hour, you know, so many are being aborted, when human trafficking is on the increase greater than it's ever been in the history of the world, when the 97% of the church is robbing from God, and the tithes and the offerings, we're spending $1.3 million per baptized believer, according to George Barna. We're continue to sing songs and we don't even read the word of God. It says, I don't even listen to your songs anymore until you get right with me in the context of that. And we continue just to do this thing is like, dear God, injustice is bringing things back in order again. So it's not doing away with something. If you go to Jesus, he's just going to put it back in its right order again. And the more you study America in regards to our foundations and our founding principles, and even though it's had its journeys, the fact that it was built on biblical principles allows us to see, my goodness, the reason why we give this prudent man inspection to everything, the reason why we make sure the defendant or the person being accused has an attorney, because God said he wants us to make sure that everybody has representation. And he says, if you don't do this, and he talks about in Amos, he says, I'm going to bring judgment on the entire nation. And he's just into justice. He's into justice. But I also see others, because the church is vacant in this particular a field of justice, you know, personal justice we seek, you know, our personal kingdom justice we see, you know, trying to get our own little building plan and stuff and going. But in regards to national justice and justice for people that are experiencing unjust circumstances and oppression and historical oppression and so many different things. For example, if you live in a community that you know that the tax base is based off of, the schools are funded off the tax base, and you make sure your kid goes to this particular school, well, you don't even consider these 10 other schools that don't have that kind of income in that region or property in that region where they're paying property taxes, and it doesn't bother you. That means that those kids are not going to get the finances involved in having the same education as these other kids. That's unjust. But the world's saying, this is people in the world, and I was reading the most recent PICO letter that just came out, Pacific Institute for Community Organizing, who's bragging on the fact that they have used churches for many years now, although they're neutral in regards to their faith, that they're bragging about how they've partnered with many faiths and many churches to accomplish social justice. And it's like, well, you know, we shouldn't have had gone to PICO to be able to do that. We should have been able to turn to God and organize ourselves and say, you know what? We're for justice. We're for fairness. We're for this. And, but it costs you because if there is a unequal distribution of things and stuff, and you have the greater amount of that, you have to be willing to give up some of your stuff. But if you have compassion and you're wanting justice, that's something you want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's something you want to do. That's why the church would quit robbing God of 97% from the tithes and the offerings, which would empower the church to be able to meet these needs. We could build schools and hospitals and just all types of things. It doesn't matter where people take down monuments and things to our founding fathers. We can re-erect one overnight. But with all the robbery going on, it'd be kind of difficult to be able to do that. So I want to encourage you, if you have not yet personally said, you know what, if the first injustice I'm going to stand up for is I'm going to be able to stand up God in my finances. Because this year, let me tell you something. Mm. This year, you haven't seen anything yet. This year, if money is your God, your God is going to be fallen. It's gonna hit the ground, and it's not gonna hit the ground running. But if God is your God, and He's your provider, and you understand Him as Jehovah Jireh, then you're gonna succeed. I mean, God's gonna take care of you. And if you've been listening to VFN Radio and VFN TV, we've been talking about it and preparing you, because God says in Amos that He first tells those who hear His word, prophets, to be able to tell His people to be able to prepare for what's coming. We have a beautiful God, but we just got to listen and pay attention, and you can prepare for what's going on. But the biggest way to prepare financially right now is to be able to don't be robbing Him.
No, that's not a good strategy for success. Okay,
not for what's coming or ever really. And so I mean, and He says the first increase, the tithe, the first increase goes to Him, and it goes to where you're being fed. Now, if where you are, if you're not going anywhere, and maybe you're, wherever you're being fed, that's where you give that. And you eat there, you get fed there, it builds you up, brings you closer to God, brings you in unity with God and His people. But if you go to a gathering somewhere and that's where you're being fed, and you keep going there and you've never given what was God's to there, that's what you're supposed to do. It don't matter even if they mess it up, understand it's God. Most men do mess it up, by the way. But even so, trust God and let God see it leaving your hands, because you're saying by doing that, you're trusting Him. And then in offerings, begin to give. Begin to give to God. He that lends to the poor lends to God. Get out there on the streets and give to people in need, or find people that are part of us that have those kind of gifts on the streets and give to them so they can give to the poor, the naked, the blind, the homeless, the people that need something that are on the streets. And it may not make sense to you in the carnal sense, but God's got a big smile on His face. Ask Lazarus, who was outside the rich man's house for quite some time. And he passed this poor guy every single day, and he never gave him one dime. Never one dime. And he had all this homeless experience in his life with sores and difficulties because he didn't have the medical treatment, obviously. And then all of a sudden they both die and go, the rich man goes to hell, and he goes, is it Lazarus or?
Lazarus.
He goes to heaven, and the rich man, who wouldn't even touch Lazarus, now says, please have Lazarus touch my tongue.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? He thought he was too unclean to be touched, but now he's willing to have Lazarus' finger touch his tongue when he dips it into the water that's before the throne of God. Let me tell you something. Don't evaluate things in your life, in this nation, in wherever you're at, based on how men and society does it. Find out what God has to say about it. He that lends to the poor lends to God. This man could have been right there with Lazarus in heaven if he would have understood the simple principle. Money is not your God. God is God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Being from Detroit, there's a lot of different things that go on, from New Jersey or, down in New Orleans.
Well, they don't have football there, do they?
No, but they do got hockey. Check it out. Yeah, they got an app for, hockey rules. They got an app on how to make ice. They got an app about, the preseason, the postseason. They got an app about how to watch hockey.
Wow.
Is that designed to make you go to sleep, or what's the purpose of that?
No, that's to what to watch when you can't watch baseball.
Baseball.
Or football. You got to check it out.
But really?
Did you know there's an app for the VFNTV.com daily radio program?
I didn't know that.
Now talk to me. That's the app I want.
Yeah. tell me. I mean, even people who do watch hockey got to check this out. Go on iTunes. Go on your Android and type in VFN TV. And you hear all the content. You hear everything that we got going on right now. The daily live VFN radio program. It's like taking VFN TV with you on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
Well, you know, when I was in the Navy back in 1812, in you know, when we were putting the sails up in the Navy.
All right.
We can sell the five C's. You know, that's a graduate of the school system today. There's seven C's. And so I was stationed in Brooklyn. I was stationed in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Give a shout out to our Brooklyn listeners there. And and of course, you don't have a lot of home cooking when you're in the they did cook a lot of food, but it just wasn't home cooking. But I found out because I would catch I'd ride a bus from Brooklyn Shipyard, mm-hmm. and I would ride it to the subway, and then I'd catch the subway over into Manhattan. I'd get out about 33rd Street, something like that, by the USO, and I'd walk over to the Avenue of Americas, I guess, because they had a restaurant there mm-hmm. called Bojangles Chicken. Oh my goodness! I'd eat their chicken, okay, but their biscuits. Oh,
that's old school. Bojangles is old school. I don't even know they're still around, but that's
they are because I'm. I was just coming back with Donna from our anniversary, and and we saw a Bojangles. That's why I'm talking about it.
Oh,
and it was still just good, and I'm like. I'm trying to convince Donna. Right?
Yeah, we need it. The car.
Let's go eat at this chicken joint.
Yeah, right.
She looks at me like, "What? No, this is Bojangles." And then finally, she conceded. You know, she's like, "Okay," you know. And we went there, and we both enjoyed it. But anyway, so they cook their biscuits like with yeast, and they got this real fluffy, bready biscuit that's so good. So, you know, I'm young. I'm in the Navy, and just wanted some of those biscuits, and so I go down there. And go out to catch buses and subways. And at that time, the streets weren't as safe as they are today
on
New York. Oh, believe me, it was a bit different than then. Anyway, so then I get to Bojangles and I order a whole box of biscuits. I'm at like six or eight biscuits. I'm just going to eat these biscuits, you know. That's back when I had a 28 waist. Look what biscuits do to you. Right. Anyway. Remind me to tell you about my doctor's visit. Anyway, so they gave me this big box of biscuits. And at that time, there was a mansion that somebody had donated to the military. Mm-hmm. It was right there, I think, on the Avenue of Americas. And you could stay there for like $12.
Oh, wow.
You know, but it was just like, you know, communal type, these big, huge, you know, a mansion in New York is huge as it is, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, but it had these huge, you know, 16-foot ceilings and this old libraries and these big, huge rooms. There's no doors on the place, you know, and it was on the different bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. But you had several different racks, old metal beds, you know, in there. But, you know, for going to the city, you could stay and survive, you know, stay in the city for like $12 or something. And so I ate all these biscuits. I ate all these biscuits. And I'm like, oh, man, they were so good. I enjoyed every one of them. And so then I go to the mansion, you know, eventually get to the mansion thing. And I go there, I give my $12 or whatever it was. And I go and there's a rack in this room, a bed, and several of them. There's like a lot of different rooms in there. And you can hear hard floors. You can hear like things echoing in there. Uh-huh. And I was laying in this bed, John. I was laying in this bed, you know, as a young sailor. Uh-huh. I'd eaten, I don't know, eight biscuits. It could have been more than that.
Right.
And the yeast that they use in their biscuits rises, and then you eat it. But they didn't fully rise yet.
Oh, okay.
So I have these pound of biscuits.
Oh, my goodness.
In this young stomach, and all of a sudden, man, those biscuits began to rise.
Oh no.
I know it, man. I'm sitting here in this huge, hollow-sounding, 16-foot, no-door, 15,000-rack, $12 night. And all you could hear was like, oh! They just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm like, I'm going to die.
Oh,
so you cannot say I can't empathize what it's like.
to have a baby. I think this thing was just growing bigger. I mean, it just got bigger. I'm thinking, it's not going to stop. I'm going to blow wide open. And so I just wanted to share with you.
Did they throw you out?
I got a chance to go to Bojangles Biscuits. But Bojangles Biscuits, Bojangles Chicken, when Don and I were coming back. And but I got good news for you. I had two pieces of chicken.
And how many biscuits?
And I had one biscuit.
Oh, wow.
That's wisdom, right?
It was good. It was good. It was good, but I know better than that now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I was spending some time with the Lord the other morning, and I mean, God just really, really spoke to me about the book of Jude.
Mm.
You know, I didn't realize, or I just forgot, put it that way. You know, Jude was actually one of Jesus' brothers, and which was also the brother of James.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting how he starts off the book of Jude. He says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Doesn't even mention that he's actually one of the brother, Jesus' brother too.
Wow.
And that's how humble he was. You know, he didn't want to even compare himself to, you know, to Jesus.
Yeah. Mm.
But what really stood out to me was in verse 3, he says, Dear friends, he says, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. You know, that word contend really jumped out at me, and I looked it up to see what it meant, to give me more context what he's saying here. And when he says contend for it, there's a lot of meaning behind that. He's talking about it's going to be a fight. When you're contending for something that important, like the faith, you know.
Yeah.
And back then, I mean, it was a fight, man. You got to fight for your life, because you were looking at, you know, you just didn't know what was going to be knocking at your door one day to the next. Right. And you got people like Saul of Tarsus running around trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
You just didn't know what was up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you look up contend, it means to fight, to battle, to clash, confront, to contest, dispute, give all that you've got, go for broke, to lock horns, push, resist, stand, to strive, to struggle, to tangle with.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? That's not some light, you know, fluffy, you know, statement there he's talking about. And Jesus even said in Matthew 11, he says, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you ever gone through those moments in life where you just feel like you just got to shake yourself. You know, you've gotten so accustomed and comfortable, I guess, and, you know, where you're at, and all of a sudden you're just like in a daze almost. You're just operating. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You almost forgotten your purpose and what God truly is, you know, what truly God wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oftentimes that's an attack. That's
the enemy's attack, like you said.
Yeah. That's a sign that something's not going right. Maybe, you know, the biting slipped off.
Mm-hmm.
You're under attack. There's a haze. Yeah. And before you know, it's like, where's my Bible? It's like, what happened? You know, what mm-hmm. how did you get from the place where you're abiding to the place where you're cloudy, you have no vision, you know, you can't see, it's almost a lethargic. And mm-hmm. I'd say, like, a large majority of the church is like, mm-hmm. where's my Bible? I mean, 19%, you know, only reading the Word, but
mm-hmm.
it's interesting what you're saying about contending and what the Word says about contending.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Powerful.
It is. It's awesome. I mean, you think about it, because Satan, our enemy, he goes like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So he's never sleeping. He's always looking to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, and a lot of times he's using all kinds of things. You know, he'll put you to sleep with television. He'll put you to sleep with, you know, cares of this life, you know, mm-hmm. just you name it. You know, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can fall to that so easily if we're not paying attention. We lose vision, like you said. We forgot what our purpose is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, we haven't abided in 2-3 days or whatever, and we wonder why everything's falling apart.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, shake yourself, wake up, you know, turn the noise off, you know, get rid of all these distractions that's taking you away from your first love.
That's right.
And not only yourself, and later on, Jude says in verse 22, he says, be merciful to those who doubt, to those who have weak faith. Snatch others from the fire and save them.
Mm.
To others, show mercy mixed with fear. Hating even clothes stained by corrupted flesh. So what he's saying there is not only are we have to contend for it, but we got to make sure we help our brothers, that we just don't let them fall by the wayside. And we see that they're struggling, you know what I'm saying, in sin or doubt and fear, and just, you know, they're in the haze too. You know, we got to, instead of judging them and criticizing them, you know what I'm saying? Because if we judge, guess what? It's going to come right back on us.
That's right.
You know, we get critical and judgmental, and, you know, I look at him, there he goes again.
Right.
You know, following that same old stuff, but yet, you know, we got the plank in our eye sticking out so far we can't see, or, you know, our nose in front of our face.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He says, show mercy mixed with fear, which means you're going to have a fear of God before you open your mouth, before you begin to think about criticizing. You better look at yourself.
That's right.
Hold on, chief.
you better
look at yourself first.
That's right.
You know, so you walk with fear and trembling when you're ministering to somebody. You know what I'm saying? And
well, that's why we're on VFN Radio.
Exactly.
Right now, you know, it's the fear of God and it's the love of the church to say, we got to wake up. We got to wake up.
Exactly.
You know, I was actually talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about friendships and what was a true friend. I said, listen, a true friend is someone that's willing to tell you what you need to hear, what you got to hear. Mm-hmm. At the expense of possibly being offended with them and saying, you know, because you told them the truth. And once you tell them that, you know, a true friend says, listen, even if you don't like me after this, I'm okay with you not liking me telling you the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
A true friend, that's what a true friend's going to do, is gonna say, I got to tell you because I love you and I care about you. This is the deal, you know, and we need that. We need others contending for the faith, contending for the truth, and standing for what God's word is saying.
Exactly. I mean, God's word says, bear each other's burdens, therefore fulfill the law of Christ. So we're not just a bunch of lone rangers. We're supposed to help each other up. You know what I'm saying? What's the scripture where your brother falls? You know, we're there to help him up.
It's Ecclesiastes. Pity the man who falls and has no one to pick them
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. That's right. You know, it makes me think about, you know, sometimes, you know, the word tells us that we need to examine our lives, you know, and so as you examine your life, you can see, I know, applying to myself, that I can look in different areas of my life, say, well, you know, I'm contending for this, I'm contending for that, but then there's other areas that may fall to the wayside, you know, that some areas that, like you're talking about, you need your brother to point something out and say, hey, you know, look at this, you know.
So, right, because we all have blind spots.
Right, right. Sure. And we need it. And so therefore, you know, we need each other to point those things, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
That's right.
You know, and it reminds me of even in Revelations where Jesus is speaking of the church. He's speaking to the churches and he says, you know, I see your good deeds, but yet still I have this against you. You know, and so we need to fully examine our lives. Are we contending in every area of our lives? You know, because, you know, he talks about, you know, being lukewarm. You know, he'll spit you out if you're lukewarm.
Exactly.
You know, so if you're not contending fully for the faith, you know, that's a dangerous place to be. And so, like you're talking about, John, that, you know, we need our brothers, you know, contending for us.
Exactly.
You know?
Absolutely. Exactly. And the big thing, I think, is sometimes that as believers, sometimes you can't forget that you're in a battle. This is a spiritual battle. This is warfare. Ephesians 6 says we wrestle not against flesh and
blood. Read your Bible. That thing you dust that thing off.
we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That there is a spiritual battle, that there's forces of evil. You know, that and Satan hates your guts. If you've made a decision for Jesus Christ, he hates your guts. And you can understand that he has a strategy and a plan to try to snuff you out. And if you're not aware of that and you're just, you know, skipping down the road thinking everything's going to be all cool and hunky dory. No.
Right.
His idea is to try to get you off of the narrow road and to try to get you on the wide road. And he's standing out there with billboards and signs and saying, come here. And if you're not aware of that, if you're not intending, if you're not on the offense, you know, I always like to say that a great defense is a great offense.
Exactly.
Don't try to put your shield up every 5 minutes. If you're on the offense, if you're on the cutting edge, if you're on the being hot there with God and going forward and sharing the good news, let me tell you something. You're going to be a force to be reckoned with. But if you're skipping along the way and not understanding that this is a battle, that we got to stand, and it's a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about taking up arms. I'm talking about this is a spiritual battle.
Exactly.
If you stay close to the Lord, that you believe his word, that you abide in him, not only will you have what you need to press forward, but now you can reach back and you can pray for others and you can be a shield for them. You know what I mean? And we need more of the contending for the faith in our own life and in the lives of those that are around us that are crying out for God as well.
Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Pat, you know, I think back, before I even knew God, God was just beginning to draw himself to me. And I was hungry for God before I even knew I was even hungry for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to tradition, going through that hour a week that I had been raised upon, but I knew I wanted more.
Right.
You know, and when God called me and I met his son, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
God really changed my life. Yeah. He touched my heart and he encountered my whole life and he drew me into the VFN family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so powerful. It was so amazing to see other Christians who I'd never seen before, people who just cast their every burden and every care on Jesus. And the coolest thing was, is that people that I could relate to, because for the longest time, you want to share your problems with people, but there was nobody there who was, that was close enough to you that you could really talk to and be transparent with.
Right.
You know, I want to encourage you that if you're listening right now and you want to just connect with people who are just real, who they themselves have problems, you know, we look to Jesus in everything. And if you feel that God's just really beginning to speak to your heart and just draw you to himself, I want to encourage you to go to vfnfamily.org.